You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. It's add my welcome to you too. It's lovely to be here. I love lots of things about the Bible, but one of the things that I really love is that you can read things and you've read things over and over again, and then suddenly you see something new. That's why it's a living word, isn't it? It's just amazing. And I read this verse in Proverbs a couple of months ago. And actually, it wasn't in this version. It says, train your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to understanding. And I thought, well, surely, God, it's my mind that needs to understand. Surely that's where... Because I'd been praying to know more, because, to understand more theology and stuff. And Andrew and I used to be worship leaders. That's where we were really comfortable and quite happy doing that. And then we came here and suddenly God said, no, that's not my plan for you anymore. And you sometimes feel a bit... So I was praying to know more, and God said, actually, I want you to apply your heart to understanding. And I just was blown away by thinking, what is it that my heart needs to do? What does this mean? What's different about my mind understanding from my heart understanding? Do you know that the Bible is the first organ to be formed in a fetus? It's the first thing that starts there. And in the Bible, according to which bit you look at, it's either under 1,000 references or over 1,000 references, depending who's counted. It's referenced over 1,000 times. That's how important it is. And actually, so many of the songs we sang today, if not all of them, were talking about filling our heart or knowing God's heart. It's an essential part. Last week, we went to Leeds and I had been given, many Christmases ago, it feels like, some tickets to watch the cricket. And so we went up for the weekend, all my family, happy place. And actually on the Saturday night, we were going out for a meal and we cut through a churchyard in the middle of Leeds. And on the church, it said, teach us to number our days so we can apply our hearts to understanding. And I thought, it's 8:45, I'm coming here for the cricket. I'm going for a meal. And yet still, in the middle of this church, engraved on there, God is working and speaking. I was just so sort of, God, you really just want me to grasp that. You really want to remind us of the truth of our heart understanding. And our heart has so much in it, doesn't it? And in the Bible, it means so much more than an organ pumping blood around. It's our seat of emotions, it's our affections, it's our inner self, it's where our values come from, it's our attitudes come from, all that functions come from. It's our in here. And in ancient and biblical times, it was the central organ. They viewed it as the organ. I looked up yesterday which is more important, the brain or the heart, and there was some debate about that. But in ancient times, in the biblical times, the heart was it. And so when we see references, those 1,000 references in the Bible to it, it's something pretty important. It's something pretty major. It is the very existence of us. It's the very essence. It's all that we are in our heart. In Proverbs 2, it says, in various different versions I've got, in the Passion Translation, it says, so train your heart to listen when I speak and open your spirit wide to expand your discernment. In the Message, it says, tune your ears to the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. In the ESV, it says, make your ears attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. In the New King James, it says, apply your heart. Whatever version you look at, that is actually you doing something. It's me doing something. It's ongoing and it's constantly applying. It doesn't happen by itself. It needs action. It needs us to work at it. And you can think you know things, can't you? But knowing isn't enough. We've got to understand it down here in our inner self. We've got to grab hold of it here. It's not enough to know. Seeking after knowledge is great. Okay, that's really good. But actually, in and of itself, that's not enough. God wants us to, that we've already asked him to fill our heart. Well, what do you want him to fill it with? Understanding is one of the things that he wants to fill it with. But actually, for him to do that, it's just going to be, look, you've got understanding. You're going to have to apply your heart. You're going to have to incline. Incline means changing, doesn't it? You've got to move. So you've got to do something. And we were listening to a song on the way here, which I haven't listened to for ages, and it says this journey of filling my heart, of changing my heart. And that's what God invites us into, isn't it? I've shared before, Andrew will tell me off for this, saying this again, but anyway, I'm going to. I was very good. I have a very good memory. And unfortunately, I can remember every minor thing which Andrew, I think Andrew does wrong. It probably isn't always wrong. Yes. It's just me thinking it half the time, I think. And I could remember it all, and I could bring it back over and over again. Whenever I felt he needed to be reminded of it, I could live a long list, and he couldn't remember anything. Not to say I hadn't done anything wrong. And I've felt for some months God telling me that I had to stop doing this. And it became sort of something of knowing I've got to forgive here, of actually something that altered my values and altered my life. And I would love to say it happened overnight, but it did not. It took me some time to just learn to say, Holy Spirit, I need to help you to help me forgive. I really do. This isn't right. I know I'm not living to your values. I might need my heart to change. And he did. And it's, I thought the other day, I thought I did that without even thinking, just forgot. And what I've realized just the other day is actually, I don't know what it means for Andrew, but what it means for me is actually that's God giving me his freedom. That life of freedom he's promised me has actually come by me living according to his values and filling my heart. That word of needing to forgive, moving from here into here. And actually, the world would say, well, that's not right. You know, you've got to bring them to account. You've got to get retribution. You deserve to be angry. But actually, God says forgiveness. And actually, that's how I get free. Not by following the wisdom of the world. So that knowledge which I knew about forgiving people had to move from here into here. It had to change. That way it changed the essence of who I was. So because our emotions and our affections and our place of value, what we do with our life is determined by our hearts. Proverbs are just great. They are just fantastic little nuggets of truth. I really recommend reading them. It's in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. This heart is so important. We've asked God to fill it. We need to keep on doing that. We need to keep on applying our heart to understanding. James and I talked a few weeks ago how we understand something, and actually then God talks and you understand it a little bit more, and then you understand it a little bit more. And actually, it's not a once and for all thing. Yeah, I've got that piece of truth. I've got that word. Actually, God just brings stuff back, doesn't he? And you just think, no, there's more. It's like an onion peeling stuff off. Proverbs 7:3 says, Keep my words, bind them on your heart, write them deep within your heart. You know, we're constantly told to, or advised, to keep those words deep in our heart, to make sure God's word is what is influencing our emotions, to make sure God's word is influencing our values, to make sure God is influencing our affections. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, "Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." Later on, verse 10 says, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands." Verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Verse 24 says, "Give me understanding and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart." Constant emphasis needing to have his words move from head to heart. Because there, it's great knowledge, but here is where it has effect. And that's where we get changed. It's here it goes deep. It's here it affects our values. It's here it changes and purifies our affections. So our emotions are influenced by God's word, not by our thoughts and the world. We need to work at, lean into, incline ourselves to taking what we already know and applying ourselves to making sure it goes deeper. I have been going to church probably since I was 2 weeks old, I imagine. When I was born, my dad was a pastor, my mum was the Sunday school superintendent, and just because she'd had a fourth child did not mean any of that stopped. And I was going to say dragged along. I was taken to, you know, two services a day, Sunday school. I can know a lot, but actually I could know a lot forever, and it still wouldn't alter who I am. And God is desperate for us to it be applied here, because actually he knows it's best for us. I think if the word stays in here, we are taught, especially, you know, at school, we teach kids to reason things out and work problems out and get solutions. And if the word stays here, we can reason it away, or we can justify the contradictions to God's word, or we can let the lie of the enemy come here as well and water it down, or in the end, eventually take it all away. But Matthew 6, 21, which I have marked. "Don't keep hoarding for yourself earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material worth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourself that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure." And I was thinking, really, it's your heart is the seat of your emotions. It's where our values come from. But actually, your heart is where we respond to the Father. You could know of God's saving love. You could know of his mercy. But it wasn't till it became knowledge in your heart and you understood with your heart that you respond to it. And you know, it is in your heart. My heart responded to Andrew. You know, his heart responds to mine. It's that place of relationship. And we need to bring that word we know here into the context of our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is he is our Father. He has a Father heart for us. On Thursday, we had a phone call from our daughter, Rosie, and she told us she had pneumonia. And she's okayish. Andrew's heart as a father was to go and get her and bring her home. That's what we wanted. That's his heart. And that's just minor compared to the heart of the father relationship we have with the father. We need to apply the word in the context of knowing that God loves us unconditionally, that God is for us, not against us. We need to apply that word in the light of our salvation. We need to apply the words in an understanding in the light of God actually sees me clothed in righteousness. We need to understand it in the light that I am seated in him with heavenly places. That these aren't nice little words to say, but have no effect on my life. And that I am not disqualified from them being true for me and applying them in my heart, but in the context of God, having called me by name, having called you by name, these words are words for you to apply into our heart. We need to apply them into all that we know of the characteristics of God, all that we know of him. He's creator, he's almighty, he's all powerful, he's all merciful. He's a saviour. He's a healer. We need to apply those words into the context of all that we know of the Father. That's why we need to know the Father more, so that we can apply our understanding more. And this will mean that our understanding will be contrary to what the world's understanding is. In the light of that relationship, in the light of God's acceptance, of the light of God saying, I see your sin no more. In the light of God saying, you are forgiven, I can understand things differently. And we need to apply our heart, apply everything we are to understanding the word in the light of where we are this morning. You know, we need to know, we need to read, we need to seek after the word, we need to chew over it, we need to meditate it, we need to have dialogue with God. I often say, God, what on earth do you mean by that? And I don't understand, and I'm not sure that's right. I'm sorry, that's just how I am with, you know, I have a conversation about it. We need to praise and declare so many truths we've declared this morning, just applying them to our heart. We need to work at it in praise, in worship. The other week we were talking about declaring the truth of God. Sometimes we have to declare the truth to our heart, even speak it out loud. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. It's a journey, but it's a journey we need to go on. God's desperate for us to go on. You know, at the minute, every time you switch on the news, there's a cost of living crisis and petrol's going up and wages are going down and this person needs more money and this person's striking. And we have a God whose word says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 23 says, I shall not want. If we stay here, I shall not want, God's going to supply every need. Then actually when we're told everything's changing, everything's in need, nobody's got enough money and everything's gotten enough, it just begins to flounder a little bit. We begin to query. We begin to doubt. But if we take that word of my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory into here, we remember that God loved us so much that he gave his son to give us salvation. That greatest need we ever had, he's already provided for. When we take it into the context of him clothing us with the righteous so we can come with confidence into his presence over and over again. When we see it in the context of him providing and remembering all that he's done, then we can go with confidence and say, my God will provide all my needs. Everything I need, I shall not want. I don't know if some of you this morning are worrying about God's provision. Just meditate on that word and let it be apply your heart to understanding. You know, he's called you by name. He said you can have confident access into my presence. It's not so he can watch you struggle. It's so he can give you the answer, because that's how much he loves you. Sorry, I haven't actually got the ball, which is it. You know, we need to make sure that in the sower sells the seed, doesn't he, on different soils. And it's often talked about different people. But we, you know, we could apply that to our heart and how receptive our heart is. And, you know, are we applying that word to our heart, or are we meditating it and chewing on it and making sure our heart are good soil, that those words grow and have fruit? You know, there's so many words, aren't there? Also, it's not just about God's I'm going to say the good stuff. That's not right. You know, it's not just about God being a provider and God being someone that loves us and that side of his word, but also, you know, God saying, don't be angry, don't seek revenge, don't be jealous. We need to soak those into our heart, that we don't need to seek revenge. It says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. You know, it can be hard, you know, when someone genuinely wrongs you. But if we take it into the context, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but hey, and then the context of God's Father heart for us, his overpowering, overwhelming love that he's pouring upon us, and we take hold of the fact that we are passing through, we have an eternal destiny. And if we can just be more and more in love with the Father, then it becomes easier to apply that word to us. But it will take effort. It will take leaning in, inclining our heart. It will take complying. But if you know, if God, that Jesus is interceding for you, if you know the Holy Spirit is interceding for you, and in the middle of all that, God is working all things together for good, you take it into the context of that. But it's application, it's working at it, it's keeping going back to it. You know, God promises that we will be free from fear. And I'm sure most of us at some point, for some reason, have things that we are afraid of. But we have to keep taking it into our relationship with God and his. God did not call you into his presence and call you to be his, to watch you struggle and to watch you flounder. And I'm not going to show up for you. He will show up for us because that's the God. That's what he promises to do. And so we just have to take what we know into our heart, into the heart of the Father. You know, we another one, you know, I think, is that we feel that we're often alone, don't we? And we feel that sometimes you think, I've got no one here, I'm on my own doing this. And yet God says, I'm alongside you, I'm by you. You know, and we could say, I feel bound, but we just need to really just say, Father, I want to see this in the light of you. And I'm going to keep coming back to you. I'm going to go on this journey. I'm going to keep meditating on this word. I'm going to keep coming into your heart. I'm going to keep inclining my head and lean on your chest and feel your heartbeat so that I can apply my heart to understanding. David was a man over God's own heart. He talked to God. He argued with God. He complained at God. But he's described as a man after God's own heart. That's because he just said, but I will. You read so many psalms, don't you, that David's complaining and he's a bit moaning and he's saying, but I'm downcast and I've got enemies all around me. And then the end of the psalm says, but I will. And we need to be, but I will people, but I will declare that God is good. I will declare that he is faithful. I will declare his words that say, I will not be in need, that he will provide all I need. I will declare that even though that person has treated me wrongly, I will let him deal with it. And I will set my eyes on my future, that I have eternal life and I am just passing through. So these tribulations don't mean nothing. They do, okay? God's heart is for us and he just wants to wrap us up. But they lose their influence in our values. Because if we let the anger, if we let the fear, if we let the lack of need, the lack of provision, if we let that be what's in our heart, then our values and our life is driven by that. And we become self-seeking And we think, I am the answer to my need. I am going to work harder. I am going to get another job. I am going to sell this. We try to find the solutions. But if we take it and we meditate on it and we mull it over and we go over and over and over, then God begins to work and we suddenly realise it's a habit. Many years ago, we had a little girl that was stillborn, and I would have to be quite frank, I was not pleased with God on this instance. I argued very strongly at him. I was very angry. And God took me on a journey of saying that God was good. I honestly didn't think he was. And I really struggled, but I just... Andrew was very good, made me go to church every week. Usually sat there crying my way through. But God was honourable. God was faithful. God helped me. His Holy Spirit within me helped me apply my heart to understanding that God is working in the midst of all things for good. It wasn't overnight. It wasn't like that. It was an ongoing thing. And, you know, for many years, God would say, okay, Karis, you've got to let go a bit more of this now. I want to work on this bit with you. He was really gentle and really gracious. He didn't just say, you've got to forgive and say I'm good straight away. He wasn't like that. I know some people can do that. I couldn't. He just took me on a journey of applying that word, of him being the good God, of him being faithful, of him working together for good in every circumstance, and help me apply it to my life and in my heart over and over again. And took me on this journey of saying, let go of that bit, let go of that bit. And it is remembering that this applying this word is in the context of our Father God. If we see our Father God for less than he is, then we're going to find it hard sometimes to apply our heart to it. If we recognise him for all he is, then we can understand it in that context that God just says, come unto me and I will give you rest. We just need to grasp more of doing things in the context of that. And it is just so amazing, I think, when we do apply our hearts. I'm sure there will be different verses or different instances that we would be able to see in different people's lives of where you've applied something, God, to your heart. Everyone would be able to say that there's something that God's just gone over with them over and over again. But God is saying, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep on applying your heart to what you know up here. Keep working at it. Keep inclining your heart to me. You know, there was mention about an open heart today, that we have an open heart. Well, let's have an open heart. Let us have an open heart to applying God's word to us. You know, there may be bits of yourself, if like me, that you don't like. I don't mean whether you think you're fat or not or anything like that. I mean there may be some of your values that you don't like or some of the ways you react. I think particularly when I'm at work, I just don't like it. And I'm praying God's truth into my heart. It's not there yet. So please keep playing, Grace. But, you know, we need to apply for it because then our values, our life, and everything that flows from this will affect what we do. And we want to be a people that affect the world for good. We want to be a people that take God's love into their situations. We want to be a people who say, God is gracious, God is merciful to you. But we want to have that in here to be able to go. I'm just going to ask Marie and the worship team to come back. Father, we thank you that you take us on journeys. We thank you that for not one of us here has that journey stopped. We thank you that you are calling us to your word, that you are calling us to do more than know, that you are calling us to apply things to our hearts that who we are becomes more like you, that our heart will be a heart after God's heart, that our heart will be open to be filled with your values. Father, this is not a once thing. This is an ongoing thing. Lord, just Holy Spirit, just come, I pray. Just come. Just come. We just thank you. We just want to worship you. We want to give you the honour that you say you are worth changing, that I look at you with love. I look at you and see my child, and I will drive to come and get you. I will drive to change you. I will pour my love into you. I will provide for you. I will give you all that you need. Holy Spirit, just move, I pray.